The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
On to orders of the day, oral questions put by members to ministers. The time is now 9:19. We'll conclude at 10:19. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yesterday neither the Premier nor the Minister of Economic Development would tell Nova Scotians if or even how taxpayers' money was spent gathering important audit evidence in the conduct of a forensic audit of the Cumberland Regional Development Authority. That is surprising, Mr. Speaker, considering that just 2 years ago, in talking about a similar audit of another development authority in southwest Nova Scotia, the now Premier said, and I quote directly, "These are public assets being managed by a provincial government-funded public regional development authority. Accountability and transparency must be at the core of all management activities." I'll table that quote for the benefit of the House, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the Premier, in the spirit of accountability and transparency that he spoke about in opposition, will he tell the House today whether the auditors doing the forensic audit of CREDA now have all the information they need to conclude their audit and when we might expect to see the results?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, as the Honourable Member would know, there's an ongoing audit at this point. It's my understanding the auditors have the information they require. If not, Mr. Speaker, I'm sure they'll ask for any additional information they need.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Premier also said at that time in opposition about the audit of the Southwest Development Authority. He said, and I quote, "The people of Shelburne County deserve full accountability on how government agencies are managing their properties," and I will table that quote for the benefit of the House, Mr. Speaker, "while Cumberland County residents deserve the same full accountability that the people of Shelburne County were asking for at that time, Mr. Speaker. That includes those that did work for the Development Authority and are owed money from the Development Authority. I would like to ask the Premier, will he agree today, in the interest of full accountability, to release a list of all of the outstanding creditors of Cumberland Regional Economic Development Authority, including those that may have been paid since?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the Honourable Member would know, there's an ongoing audit now of, that will take place, Mr. Speaker, and when that audit is completed, we will make sure that all Nova Scotians get an opportunity to see what's taking place. Mr. Speaker, this has been ongoing since January of 2013. We will find a conclusion to this, Mr. Speaker, and continue to move forward.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the Premier is right about one thing. This has been ongoing since January 2013, and now we have a forensic audit, an important audit, that's almost a year overdue. Mr. Speaker, what was originally, I would agree, an NDP problem is now quickly becoming a Liberal problem because they are no better at answering straightforward questions about this audit than the NDP were, Mr. Speaker. There is no good reason why the people of Nova Scotia, particularly the people of Cumberland County, can't know whether their own taxpayers' money was used to pay off outstanding creditors of CREDA, any and all of them. And there's no reason why they can't know if the audit agency now has all the information it needs and when we can expect to see the results, Mr. Speaker. So I would like to ask the Premier, why is his government no better at answering these basic questions, matters of fact that have nothing to do with the conduct of the audit, than the NDP were?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, the reason it's an independent audit, Mr. Speaker, so it would be independent of government. Mr. Speaker, we're going to allow the auditors to do what they've been hired to do, Mr. Speaker, and at that time, Nova Scotians will get a full disclosure of what's taking place.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Community Services. Mr. Speaker, in estimates for community services, the Minister mentioned that she had raised red flags for a number of community groups that receive grants, but which might not be providing the right outcomes for their work. Can the Minister please tell members of the Legislature which organizations raised these red flags?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
As my tenure in the community as executive director, I often wondered what the process was for the Department of Community Services in terms of their discretionary funding to organizations. Now, as minister, I have the ability to look at that process, make sure that organizations give the due respect to a crucial funding partner and provide not only annual general reports, which many organizations don't do, but actually follow the outcomes of two questions that I have asked as minister, which is quite simply, what is the work that you do and what difference does it make to the people you serve? Those are two reasonable questions. I will be asking them of every organization that receives funding from this department so that at the end of the day, vulnerable Nova Scotians get the best services they deserve and the taxpayers of Nova Scotia have the best use of very scarce funding.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In estimates for community services, we also learned that the minister plans to review all grants given to community groups through her department, and I think she just confirmed this in her reply to my first question. So I'd like to ask the minister if she would tell members of the legislature who is currently being funded but not providing the appropriate services, and would she please table a list of those organizations?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
That is private information that is between the department right now and ongoing with the review with the organizations. I also clearly said in estimates that we would never cut anybody off at the knees, that we would work with organizations to provide the capacity to be able to develop outcome and evaluation measurements within their organization so that they can tell us what they actually do. Long gone is the days of backroom deals through old boys' networks where organizations are funded and not providing any outcomes, evaluation measurement to government or to the community in which they serve.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm somewhat shocked by the Minister's claim that this is a private matter. This is public funds, Mr. Speaker. These organizations are very concerned now, given what the minister has said is going to be a broad review of their funding. And in the interest of transparency and fairness, Mr. Speaker, it seems to me that we have to have this information on the public record. Mr. Speaker, there are very many deserving groups that do phenomenal work funded through the Department of Community Services. And these groups now are wondering whether or not they are the organizations that have raised the red flag in the mind of the minister. So I want to ask the minister again, will she please provide for us a list of the organizations that will be reviewed under this process now that she has underway in the Department of Community Services?
The Honorable Minister of Community Services.
Mr. Speaker, what shocks me is when I ask staff, what exactly does this organization do and what outcomes do they provide with the money that they're provided from this department? And I get, I don't know, they don't provide us that information. That's what should be shocking to every member of this House. I also would like to remind the Honourable Member that I am an Executive Director that has won 8 national awards on outcome measurement in Canada. So I expect what was provided in my small organization to be extended to the millions of dollars that we provide to organizations. And most organizations provide that now because they are accountable, they are transparent, and they do extraordinary work in the community. And if they can't answer 2 simple questions, that should be an issue for every member of this House.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in January, the Premier told Nova Scotians his government's priority. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In January, the Premier told Nova Scotians his government's priority was making sure that the Blue Nose 2 returned to its regular sailing schedule this spring. But we now know that the boat is still tied up at a wharf in Lunenburg, that it has an unusable rudder that's been sent back to the shop, and there hasn't even been sea trials yet. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the Premier, how can you explain his government's inability to meet his own priority?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, that RFP was put out under the former Tory government, Mr. Speaker, and we all know how long ago that was when they were in power, Mr. Speaker. Furthermore, for the last 4 years, it's been under the leadership of the New Democratic Party, Mr. Speaker. We've been in power for 6 months. Let me assure all Nova Scotians, the Blue Nose will sail.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the Blue Nose 2 is now 689 days and 2 governments late. Premier called it a bloondoggle and blamed it on the NDP. Yet here we are still with an unusable boat and another sailing season that is about to slip by. Mr. Speaker, what was an NDP boondoggle by the Premier's own words is rapidly becoming a Liberal one, as he said it, as his priority to have the boat in the water this spring. So I'd like to ask the Premier, does he expect Nova Scotians to just accept that what was an NDP boondoggle is now a Liberal one?
The Honourable Premier.
No, Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians know that the government that had put the RFP out, Mr. Speaker, couldn't do an RFP so that Nova Scotians could deliver this project in a timely manner. We will meet the commitment to the people of this province, Mr. Speaker, and we'll ensure that the Blue Nose is sailing.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, perhaps the Premier should speak to the Minister of Community Services, who just shared with us that she has expertise in outcome management, because what matters to Nova Scotians is the outcome of whether they have a boat on time or not. And the Premier said it was his priority that we have a boat this spring, and we don't have a boat this spring. What we do have is a bill for $16.7 million and climbing, Mr. Speaker. I know the Auditor General will look at this someday in the future, but for now, here we are. I'd like to ask the Premier, does he really believe Nova Scotians should continue to sit back and wait for a project that has had no accountability or reporting to them on what is really going on?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians aren't sitting back. They're hard-working Nova Scotians putting this vessel together, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, what Nova Scotians expect is the people in this House, Mr. Speaker, to show leadership, not like the leader of the Conservative Party who's looking for every opportunity to blame Nova Scotia workers for his own political game.
The The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question this morning is for the Minister of Internal Services. Yesterday I asked the Minister responsible for Internal Services to tell taxpayers who in the Liberal government, was responsible for a controversial tendering process for government phone lines that may have resulted in one of the bidders feeling the province's evaluation team was biased. The minister never answered the question about who was responsible for the process and who was on the evaluation team. Now that the minister has had a chance to sleep on his non-answer, I will try again. Will the minister tell Nova Scotian taxpayers who was on the evaluation panel for this decision?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The evaluation panel was made up of people from the Public Service Commission. There was three individuals from information management. There was someone from the municipality, because this contract is not only for government, but it's for the MASH sector. And there was somebody from healthcare as well and the universities. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a result of the process, the unsuccessful bidders' complaint, the province has hired an outside consulting firm to investigate the tendering process. A draft report is due May 16th and a final report is due June 6th. The terms for the engagement of the review stipulate if fraudulent activity during the normal course of engagement and management is uncovered, then the government will be informed immediately. My question for the minister is, if fraudulent activity is uncovered, will the minister commit to ensuring taxpayers are also informed immediately and will not have to wait for the full report?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The contract was actually not awarded before the process was stopped, and the reason it was stopped is so that we would have a fair RFP process. We expect the full report to be back beginning of June, and at that point, if there is any fraudulent activity, we will deal with it within the department, and taxpayers will have the availability of that full report. It will be public. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The consultant is charging the taxpayers $24,000 at a time when the province is already in dire financial straits. Government tenders are awarded regularly, and taxpayers should not be expected to be on the hook for the carelessness of the minister's department or a lack of ministerial oversight on significant contracts such as this. If the consultant determines the Liberal government's evaluation team did in fact display a bias or ignore government tendering procedures, will the minister promise taxpayers today that they will not be forced to foot the bill and instead the Liberal Party will pick up the tab?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Mr. Speaker, I think the member opposite is a little bit confused. It was not a Liberal committee. Well, very confused. It was not a Liberal committee that chose the RFP. It was not a Liberal committee that had anything to do with the RFP. This was people in the public service, and it was people from the MASH sector. Mr. Speaker, I will also give a little bit of insight within this process of reviewing this specific RFP and all RFPs. When there was an analysis done in the department, we saw great savings if all of our sectors of government purchased together within the department. And that savings could be upwards of $50 million. This is one small step in ensuring that we are saving money on behalf of taxpayers. Although the member is shocked by a $24,000 audit fee, what I am more shocked by is that we have $50 million in savings that we're not utilizing yet. This here audit will reveal some things in our RFP process, which we are continually trying to improve. Last time I checked, any $25,000 investment that could yield a $50 million gain was a good investment on behalf of taxpayers in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker. My question through you to the Minister of Community Services. Mr. Speaker, Big Brothers Big Sisters of the South Shore has 20 plus years of continuous service matching over 200 little brothers and little sisters with screened adult volunteers. Their mentors serve as a role model and teach by example the importance of giving and giving back and staying in school and having respect for family, peers, and the community. So my question through you Mr. Speaker, to the Minister. Can the Minister indicate whether or not Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the South Shore will be considered for DCS funding on the same playing field as the other youth organization that she said has received funding not based on outcomes but based on political decisions?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All organizations that provide direct services to families, men, women, children, vulnerable Nova Scotians, absolutely are always on a direct playing field. If the former Minister of Community Services would like to go into that area, I'd like to actually table a comment that she made in the Chronicle Herald of May of 2013 when she talked about my program, Healing the Bruises, which was not government-funded at that time and had national outcome measurements. When you're talking about an election and you're talking about the executive director for one of the other parties, I mean, that's not the reason we would ever deny a program, but in reality, the world of political pressures too. So calling me political about any decisions I make about making sure that the best frontline services are funded is really laughable at this point.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'll remind the Minister of Community Services that the program she's speaking of was one program, but Alice Housing received funding on a regular basis from the Department of Community Services to be able to offer their second stage housing for women and children. Mr. Speaker, the South Shore YMCA is a not-for-profit association of individuals dedicated to improving the quality of life for all those through the programs that promote healthy spirit, mind, and body, and also focuses on youth at risk and youth in our communities. So I'd like to ask through you, Mr. Speaker, to the Minister, can the Minister indicate whether or not South Shore YMCA will also be considered for DCS funding on the same playing field as the politically decisions that were made? And that was actually admitted by the Minister in budget estimates and in this House that it was a political decision and that she had not even read the business case. Thank you.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I would like to correct the former Minister of Community Services. I actually did read the business case. I actually did go to the facility. I know that between the times when she decided not to fund shift anymore, that they had 28 youth that could have been housed during the time when they did not have overnight shifts available because of lack of funding. If you're going to stand in this House and ask me if I'm going to fund every single political or every single nonprofit in the Southwest area, I think you are wasting your time. I have not looked at any area within this province with a political lens. In fact, I just released $4 million of DFC money without a political lens, and most of that has gone to areas in the province, although there's not many, we do hold most of them, ridings of that are of other political parties, because I want to take politics out of that decision-making, and I want to make sure that where the need is, they get the funding.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't understand how the Minister can say that when she has been in this House and also in budget estimates and said that it was not only a political decision, but one that she felt was a right decision. And she also said it was part of their platform. If that's not political, I don't know what you would call it. So, Mr. Speaker, there are so many other organizations in this province who rely on the support of the Department of Community Services. So can the Minister indicate whether or not all these organizations are going to be eligible for DCS funding, will be considered on the same playing field as SHIFT was in Yarmouth?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I don't know how many times I have to clarify or defend a campaign and platform commitment to house youth in Yarmouth County, but I will continue to do it. It was a campaign commitment by the Premier. It was something that was lobbied very heavily by the member in Yarmouth. But you know what? Transition houses, family resource centers, second stage housing, which the former minister refused to adequately fund, are now being funded, and it has nothing to do with politics. It's the right thing to do.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Internal Services. Mr. Speaker, yesterday the Minister said, and I quote, "The contract was awarded within our procurement process. There were employees within the Public Service Commission's Information Management Department who looked over the contract, scored the contract, and at that point made an award." But then, in the same breath, the Minister told us the contract had not been given to a vendor. Now, this morning, the Minister says that the contract was not awarded. So my question for the Minister, and I'll table those quotes for the benefit of the House here, but my question for the Minister this morning is pretty simple. Which is it? Was the contract awarded to a vendor or not?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
I'll clarify my comments, Mr. Speaker. The contract within the department had been graded, and we had technically awarded within a department, but no contract was signed with an outside vendor, so neither of the three bidders had any contract signed with them, and therefore it had not been fully 100% awarded to the vendors. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his first supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I guess what my question is, my concern is the Minister has referred to now possibly investing $24,000 in an audit to leverage $50 million in savings. So I guess the Minister has some pretty serious concerns about how contracts are awarded within his department and under his responsibility if he thinks there's that much savings to be obtained from such a small investment. So my question today for the Minister would be, how many tenders have been awarded since he's been responsible for the process, and how much does he think may have slipped out the back door through results of failures of the process?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
The tenders that have been awarded and tenders that are listed are all on the procurement website. The Honourable Member can go and look at it anytime he wishes. And in terms of the savings I was talking about, there's been ongoing analysis within a department. And what we have found is, as government, we're not utilizing our buying power. We are operating separately between government, between education and healthcare. And by using our buying power collectively, we see that there's upwards of $50 million of savings. If you actually look at how much we purchase as a province in a $10 billion budget, we purchase about $1.2 billion. So when you're looking at upwards of $50 million savings, we're talking 3-4 percentage points. Although the number is very large, all we need to do is move the bar slightly, and we can have a huge savings on behalf of taxpayers in Nova Scotia. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, the Minister also informed the House that there was a suggestion, I quote here, there was a suggestion made that perhaps we did not follow our own process within procurement, and that's in the same document that I tabled there. So I guess my question for the Minister is, will the Minister tell us what action will be taken if it's determined that members of the evaluation panel, which were presumably appointed by Liberals, have been found to not have acted appropriately in the awarding of the contract?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Mr. Speaker, I want to be very clear. This panel was not appointed by Liberals. These are people within the Public Service Commission. These are people within information management within the MASH sector. People coming from the universities, from the municipality, and within government. They are government employees. They have nothing to do with this political party or any political party in Nova Scotia. I think the members should apologize to these civil servants who work very hard on behalf of all Nova Scotians, implying that that they are members of a political party, that they are looking at any sort of awarding of contracts through a political lens. That is not the case. What we are looking at here is that there was that within the procurement process, we have rules. We feel that some rules were brought to our attention that might not have been followed, nothing to do with any political party. We want to ensure that any contract awarded to a Nova Scotia company on behalf of the Nova Scotia taxpayer is done fairly for all parties involved. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Queens-Shelburne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Community Services. Mr. Speaker, Shelburne County Early Childhood Development Association is a nonprofit charitable organization that provides children with special needs, birth to five, and their families with early intervention services. Mr. Speaker, can the minister indicate whether or not the Shelburne County Early Childhood Development Association will be considered for funding under the same playing field as SHIFT was in Yarmouth?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Yes.
The Honourable Member for Queen Shelburne on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm having a great day today so far. Mr. Speaker, Harbour House is a shelter for abused women with or without their children, serving Lunenburg and Queens County. Can the minister indicate whether or not Harbour House will be considered for DCS funding on the same playing field as SHIFT was in Yarmouth?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Be careful what you wish for, Honourable Member, because they actually receive more in DCS funding. They also just got a... They also just received almost a $17,000 bump in funding that they can use for outreach services perpetually.
The Honourable Member for Queens Shelburne on his final supplementary.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm having a better day because if I can get the list, and I know that the members of the Liberal Party aren't going to ask this question, who's on the list, so I may end up having a great day. My third question, Mr. Speaker, Shelburne County Association Supporting Inclusion provides vocational services, residential services, and support living assistance for over 60 adults with intellectual and mental health disabilities. It employs over 60 staff members, including management teams, support and administration staff, as well as summer cooperative students. Mr. Speaker, can the minister indicate whether or not Shelburne Association Supporting Inclusion will be considered by DCS funding on the same playing field as SHIFT was in Yarmouth?
The Honourable Member of Community Services, Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me make it easier for the members of the third party of this House. No direct service organization will receive any cut in funding. In fact, many have received a bump in funding. I am looking at a complete review of the system, which should have been done ongoing with every government. So, yes.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is for the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage. Nova Scotians are saddened to see more media reports about the mess that the Blue Nose is in. The government has been quick to blame the previous government, but the fact remains the project is now under their watch and the boat is tied to a dock without steering equipment. The original contract stated the vessel would be delivered to the province on May 29, 2012 for $12,455,077. Mr. Speaker, we are 689 days and nearly $5 million overdue. My question is, has there been a revision of the original contract to include a new delivery date and a new price tag?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that question. As I've stated earlier, all questions regarding cost delays of the vessel will be answered and dealt with through the audit. Any other questions regarding that, the Auditor General, which is set up separately from the government, will reveal all costs and delays with the vessel.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did try to have some visitors come to Human Resources and answer some of those questions, but repeatedly were denied our requests. The official Blue Nose 2 website is still accepting donations to help keep the legacy alive. The site states that all donations are used for the ongoing operation of Blue Nose 2. The vessel has not been in operation since 2010. Thus, no ongoing operations of the vessel. So how much money has been collected in donations for Blue Nose 2 since 2010, and where exactly is the money now?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
I will say to you that if you're talking about the foundation, all monies from that foundation have been turned over. There's a little bit left over, which we are waiting for them to finalize that process of closing that foundation. Other than that, there are no additional monies coming into any to that foundation. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her final supplementary.
In January, this side of the House asked 55 questions about the Blue Nose 2 project. The Premier has refused to answer them. The Minister claims that these answers can be found on the provincial website. I will gladly sit down with the Minister outside the House and go through the questions one by one to show him which ones that are not answered. The Auditor General's report will not be conducted until after the Blue Nose 2 is completed. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians deserve answers now. The government cannot reasonably expect for this project to continue down this path without scrutiny. Does the minister believe it's reasonable for Nova Scotians to wait until after this project is complete, whenever that date may be, and at whatever cost, before they get answers they so rightly deserve?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to say to my colleague across the floor, I am not going to speculate on a number of things that have happened with that when I've already asked for the Auditor General to look at and review everything in this project. Costs, delays, and the contracts. And I will assure Nova Scotians that we are at a point where I am not looking to try to point fingers anymore. I want to get this vessel sailing so that our ambassador can do what it's supposed to do for Nova Scotians. I will gladly sit down with the member at any time. However, as I stated before, the questions are on the site. Most things can be answered on the site, and anything that the Auditor General will provide for Nova Scotians should answer all questions. To answer your question whether or not this should be, or I should be happy or pleased with how everything is moving, no, I'm not happy. That's why I've asked the Auditor General to do this review. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, my question today is for the Minister of Environment. Yesterday, I asked the Minister if he would be following through with the announced $1.5 million expansion to the Environmental Home Assessment Program. Unfortunately, the Minister did not really answer that question. Under this program, families who need to replace their oil tanks should receive up to $1,000 to purchase a tank based on income. Homeowners with septic problems should receive up to $3,000 to repair or replace their aging systems. So my question today for the Minister is, will the Minister explicitly confirm whether or not his department will follow through with the $1.5 million expansion to the Environmental Home Assessment Program announced last August?
The Honourable Minister of the Environment.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for the question. I guess I'd just like to clarify if the $1.5 million expansion that the member is referring to is included in the $1 million that was cut from that EHAP program. I can assure the member that the EHAP program is still being funded. But the program she's referring to was never funded, was never implemented in the past, and so I don't know how this member can be referring to cuts to a program that never actually existed in the first place.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River on her first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, in 2014-15, the Department of Environment increased its budget by approximately $1.5 million, which is exactly the same cost it would have taken to provide the expansion to the Environmental Home Assessment Program. So my question to the Minister is, can he tell this House why he wouldn't invest that money to help low-income families replace aging oil tanks?
The Honourable Minister of the Environment.
Mr. Speaker, in about 15 or 20 minutes, I'll be entering the room across the hall to have a detailed discussion about all budget-related materials regarding my department as part of the estimates process. I'm sure we'll have a much more fuller and wholesome discussion at that time.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River, on her final supplementary.
Well, we'll try to be wholesome if we can, but I would suggest that it would be very good for the Minister to answer these questions on the floor of the House so that Nova Scotians watching perhaps on Ledge TV can hear his answers, which he seems to be skirting around. My question for the Minister, can he please tell this House why he won't invest the money to help families replace their aging oil tanks, and why the Minister thinks that this is a better use of taxpayers' money, increasing his minister's office budget by $150,000 and increasing his department's communications budget by $50,000. Does the minister think that day-to-day duties as the minister or investing that money to low-income families is more important?
The Honourable Minister of the Environment.
Mr. Speaker, when I came into this office a few months ago, it didn't take long to realize the fundamental challenges that this department faced. Many of those challenges relate, and yesterday I was actually near the member opposite's riding out in Truro, having a community meeting where I sat for 3 hours having a discussion on a very important environmental issue with community members. What became clear in that discussion, which was one of several I've had in the communities across the province discussing that issue, is that there's a lack of trust in the Department of Environment that has taken over across this province, not just in that community, many other communities, on many of the files that we're dealing with. The reason that I've discovered that this is an issue and a challenge is because of the complete disregard for the funding of the actual operations of the program, fulfilling our mandate, which is, as a regulator, to get boots on the ground, to provide the services, to protect the health and environment of the people of Nova Scotia. And that is the priority, and that is how I make decisions. There are several other programs and initiatives provided by the government of Nova Scotia to provide services to low-income Nova Scotians to help with their household capital investments. So we look forward to having a further discussion in about 15 minutes.
The Honourable Member for Clare Digby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the Health Minister is aware, this party campaigned on a promise to bring forth a physician retention and recruitment strategy for rural areas of the province. Constituents of Clare Digby have been very clearly expressing to me their desire to see this commitment fulfilled. Just recently, as Monday, I met with the warden of Clare, and he was asking that exact same question. And I sat during budget this week and also heard members from across the floor that were interested in knowing where the recruitment strategy is. Can the minister provide an update on the status of physician retention and recruitment action team for the people of Clare Digby and the rest of the province?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and pleased to address the question for the member for Digby Clare and for all the House and for Nova Scotians. I think the initiative to now look at recruitment and retention and to make sure that we have the means to be able to give our rural communities in Nova Scotia the opportunity for a family physician is indeed well underway. This committee headed by Dr. Celina White of Amherst, has had a number of meetings. They are putting the details to one of our major commitments, and that is to provide $120,000 for a medical graduate to go to a rural community in return for 5 years of service. So we're getting the details on that program, and there will be another number of other recruitment tools that will become available to get physicians right across the province. I am pleased to say that already we will have two physicians coming to Digby area this summer, one in July, one in August. I think very, very good days ahead for physician recruitment.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And just for the benefit of the House and for the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage, I will table this document stating that they are accepting donations right now. So there. The Blue Nose 2 refit project has been plagued with problems. According to the contract between the province and the Lunenburg Shipbuilding Alliance, the builder shall maintain insurance coverage for the duration of the contract. The minister shall also be named as co-insured. Also, according to the contract, which I will table, my question will lead to who is the current insurer of the Blue Nose?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think, if I can recall, we have answered that question in estimates, and I will share with you that what I said in estimates was that the current insurance is covered by the Lunenburg Shipbuilding Museum. And once that is turned over to the province, then we will hold the insurance.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her first supplementary.
Staff at the Department of Communities, Culture and Heritage confirmed yesterday that no sea trials have been started. The vessel must undergo sea trials before the project is finished. According to the contract between the province and the Lunenburg Shipbuilding Alliance, the minister and the inspector shall receive from the builder at least 30 days written notice of the time and place of sea trials. Has the minister received the 30-day notice of sea trials?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Speaker. As was stated in the past, the vessel is currently going under dock and sea trials. With a vessel like this, this is the first time anywhere, not only in Nova Scotia, but anywhere, where you have a marriage of old and new technologies. There are bound to be delays. You have to do a lot of testing. You just can't take a car out of the garage without testing it first. So what I am saying to you is, that we are still going through those dock and sea trials. Once those dock and sea trials are completed, the vessel will then be released to the province, and it will begin what it should be doing for all Nova Scotians, is being its ambassador.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And from the Minister's statements, I can assume then that you didn't get the 30-day notice. Mr. Speaker, we now know the iconic ship sits tied to the dock without steering gear. According to the contract, the inspector shall have reasonable time to inspect and test the vessel and its systems prior to any trial. Any defects which may become apparent during inspections shall be corrected by the builder prior to trials and at the builder's expense. My question to the minister is, will the cost of fixing the flawed stairing be paid for by the builder or added to the growing costs shouldered by the taxpayers of Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As was stated, that's what this process is for, to look at, to see what is happening, to ensure that any systems functionality is working correctly for this particular vessel. You've read the contract. The contract stands as is, and that's how it will be dealt with. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, my question through you is for the minister responsible for bringing the ferry back to Yarmouth. Actually, it's the Minister of Natural Resources. Mr. Speaker, my question for the minister is, the mining industry is concerned about the increased fees associated with prospectors and the claims renewals. The association said that Nova Scotia prospectors with 50 claims now has to pay $9,500 in fees over 10 years, up from $5,424 prior to the fee increases, and I'll table that document. The Mining Association and Nova Scotia's mining and quarrying industry provides 5,500 jobs and contributes $420 million to the province's economy each year. So my question to the minister is, why isn't his government supporting this industry and making it more feasible for these claims to go forward?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Thank you much, Mr. Speaker. Actually, this government has proudly been supportive of the mining industry. As I've mentioned before in this House, that is one sector that we truly believe has the great potential to grow our rural economy. And, Mr. Speaker, the fees that were brought in, which the member mentioned earlier, were actually brought in to pay for increased services to prospectors in the province of Nova Scotia to make their lives easier so they don't have to drive into Halifax to pass in their application and receive their license. They can do it online and benefit from all the online resources that that service provides. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg, on his first supplementary.
Well, that's an interesting answer. So by not driving into the city, they save money by going online, and yet it costs them twice as much. Interesting. Mr. Speaker, the Liberal government hasn't provided the fuel tax rebate to the mining sector. The Liberal government has increased fees associated with exploratory claims. These are two negatives to the same industry with nothing to balance it out. So will the minister commit to working with the mining industry instead of working against it?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Mr. Speaker, just for clarification of the House, the costs associated with this service are very similar to our neighbours in New Brunswick, Newfoundland, and our competitive market rates. They were a small increase to prospectors here in the province of Nova Scotia. That fee was brought in to pay for this very credible service that we are now providing. Mr. Speaker, this government is working with the mining industry, which is why we are reviewing the fuel tax rebate that they currently don't receive, which is why we're reviewing the Mineral Resources Act, Mr. Speaker, which hasn't been reviewed in over 30 years, Mr. Speaker. And I'm proud to say it was this government that's taking that project on.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg, on his final supplementary.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I find that answer quite interesting. John Reitman, the Executive Director of the Nova Scotia Prospectors Association, said that the harm being caused by the fee increase is completely disproportional to the small amount of revenue that is generated by the government. Sean Kirby, the Executive Director of the Mining Association of Nova Scotia, said prospecting and exploration are vital to finding new mines, and the fees are undermining that activity. Now, in relation to what the minister just said about our fees being comparable to New Brunswick and Newfoundland, the Mining and Prospectors Association say that the fees are, on average, 53% higher than in New Brunswick and a whopping 621% higher than in Newfoundland and Labrador, where the claims are renewed every 5 years, Mr. Speaker. So my question to the minister is, will the minister commit to working with the mining and prospector industry instead of, wait for it, undermining them as he is, as he has been doing the last little while?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. For clarification of the House, the numbers that the Prospectors Association has provided aren't inclusive of all the other fees that are required to pay. Those numbers particularly are wrong, yes. And I've told the Prospectors that myself, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know what they have to say about that, Mr. Speaker, because I've met with members of that industry constantly since I've assumed office, Mr. Speaker. And we're going to have a choice here. We've provided, and I've had very, very good conversations with them. I've asked them, do you like the service that we're providing through Novarock? There are some glitches. But when asked if they would prefer to have that service at its peak and fixed or not have the fee in place, they chose to have that service in place, Mr. Speaker. And our government is proud to continue to support that industry so they can grow our rural economy.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today, through you, is to the Minister of Community Services. I know since the Minister mentioned I think it was through public accounts, or through, not public accounts, sorry, through estimates, that a review was going to be undertaken for all those groups that receive funding through her department. And, Mr. Speaker, I know that many groups out there are concerned, are worried about ensuring that there are that the funding that they received is going to be there in coming years. So I would like to ask the minister, I know that there's many groups in my community, for example, who receive funding through her department. I know the Boys and Girls Club of Sackville has been offering prevention, intervention, and social programs to youth for families in and around Sackville for over 20 years. They're a dedicated group of people. I know many groups like the Boys and Girls Club run with very few individuals. Most of them are sometimes volunteers. So I'm wondering if the minister could indicate whether or not the Boys and Girls Club of Sackville will be under review, and is this one of the organizations she may have, or her department may have concerns with about providing appropriate documentation?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Every organization that receives funding, including the one that I used to be the executive director of, will be receiving letters asking them those two questions. Boys and Girls Clubs, of which I have in my riding as well, transition houses, resource centres, every single organization that provides frontline services to vulnerable Nova Scotians will have to answer two simple, reasonable questions, which every taxpaying person should expect from their government, and every person who are in receipt of these services should expect that their service provider be able to answer. It is about building capacity in the nonprofit sector, and from someone who has spent her professional life in the nonprofit sector, it is the first time in many years that the government has actually reached out to these organizations and offered that service.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I know the Minister comes from that sector, and I think she would recognize and understand some of the concerns that organizations will have. As I mentioned in my initial question, many of these organizations can barely meet the needs they have now because of maybe staff, the number of staffs. We know that the wages for many of these individuals within the nonprofit organizations are quite low, and there is a lot of work that is involved in just providing the services. So I'm wondering if the minister could indicate if her department is willing to support those organizations that might find themselves in a difficult position to provide every piece of information that the department is going to request from them.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I couldn't agree more with the honorable member. I know the stress of trying to run an organization from 10% funding from the government of Nova Scotia. That's why the review is in place, so that organizations that perhaps aren't providing frontline services but aren't funded by the department, we take a hard look at those so that we can reinvest in the Boys and Girls Clubs, in Big Brothers Big Sisters, in transition houses, in the frontline services in this province, who I know are struggling, and no minister knows that more than me. Building capacity in organizations, especially in the community organizations that you've mentioned, they already have the ability to answer those two questions. So I'm challenging all organizations to take a look at what they do and tell me what difference it makes. It's reasonable, it provides transparency, it makes organizations accountable, it makes my department accountable to the taxpayers of Nova Scotia, and above all, it makes everyone accountable to the vulnerable of Nova Scotia, Nova Scotians who receive the services.
The honourable member for Sackville Cobequid on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know groups like the Memory Lane Family Place Association, Cogswell House, which operates the Homebridge Youth Society since 1999 in Sackville. It's a residential home for males under 18. And the Memory Lane Family Place Association offers support for families and childcare services. So I know the minister was asked in a previous question. The important thing to realize is that these organizations all receive funding from taxpayers. They do recognize the importance of that, and that's why Nova Scotians know exactly what organizations in this province receive funding. That's the transparency about any organization asking and requesting funding through either Department of Community Services or any department. That's why we have the process we have in place. So I'd like to ask the minister if she would provide to Nova Scotians, to this House, the list of organizations that the department have thrown up a red flag on, because that's important for the organizations that are doing well, that we recognize the organizations that are doing well. So I'm wondering, I'll ask the minister, will she provide a list of those organizations that have a red flag or are the department has concerns with?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services with 20 seconds.
Thank you. No frontline services organizations in Nova Scotia are looking at any funding cuts. In fact, quite a few of them have looked at a bump in their funding since this government has come in. The review is ongoing.
Order, please. The time allotted for oral questions by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to orders of the day. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that you do now leave the chair and that the House resolve itself into a committee on supply.
No speakers? Motion carried. The House will now recess for 1 minute while we set up for committee of supply.